So hello and welcome to the CL Insights podcast with me, Martin Sutcliffe. I'm CL's aquaculture specialist, and I'm pleased to bring you the next podcast in our data series. This time we're looking at the world of data in aquaculture. The use of aquaculture and data is starting to provide advanced warnings of harmful algal blooms and adverse weather conditions, which, when your farm is miles from shore, often in remote locations, can be vital to ensuring the farmer is able to protect their stock, be that finfish or shellfish. Data is also useful in RAS production, where fish are kept in tanks and life support and filtration systems keep water quality optimum, and monitoring of these systems is becoming more critical as production levels increase and pressures to reduce overheads continue to mount. But no two farms are the same. Even two identical RAS facilities have their idiosyncrasies. That means data is important from every type of aquaculture farm. I'm delighted to be joined by Phoebe of RS Aqua today. And Phoebe is RS Aqua's ocean scientist. She's part of the technical sales team at RS Aqua, and she has a strong focus on the aquaculture and wild fisheries industry. Good afternoon, Phoebe.
Hi, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
So in this edition, we're going to look at the challenges facing the aquaculture sector and how RS Aqua and the wider technology companies are helping farmers understand how best to use and understand data and what it means for the future of aquaculture production. So Phoebe, what are the challenges and hurdles you hear from the aquaculture sector relating to data collection, use and sharing?
Sure. So I think probably one of the main challenges that we face are sort of comms and trying to get that data transmitted. A lot of the sort of finfish or aquaculture sites that we work with are located in maybe slightly remote areas. And we want to make sure the data is both useful and not full of gaps. So I think as well, another maybe challenge would be sort of funding and investment from people higher up in companies for more advanced technologies, and maybe a sort of reluctance to monitor anything that isn't maybe a legal requirement. And it would be nice to sort of see sites that do want to be doing a little bit more monitoring on a wider variety of things. And maybe also to sort of see a bit of data being shared between different aquaculture companies as well, because I think that could have quite a lot of value.
And that's something that I hear all the time when I'm speaking to aquaculture companies, particularly that when it comes to sharing of data and being able to create that collaborative experience, which I think is possibly where aquaculture is unique in a way, because it can often operate in that pre-competitive space and for the greater good, which I think is really helpful. The challenges you mentioned as well around connectivity and if you're 3 miles offshore, how do you get your data back to shore? It's really not easy.
Yeah, definitely. And it's something that we're working to overcome at the moment. And there's some good options out there. So, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Good. How do you think we can overcome some of those the barriers that you've mentioned? You mentioned the good options for data transfer, for example, or connectivity issues.
So I guess a lot of the sites we work with are off the coast of quite offshore, so like North Scotland, but some of the farms are actually functioning using a mobile internet signal, and we found that you can get pretty good data over sort of 4G. But one other way of sort of overcoming this is to have multiple comms on the system. So for example, the water quality monitoring system we work with has three options. So you've got cellular, Wi-Fi and satellite. So by doing that, it gives the farmers whichever one works for them, they can sort of choose to use that. And I guess another thing that we have found is, although you can push your data online in real time, we also back it up in multiple locations before that. So even if you do get that data dropout, you've still got the data stored there, and when you reconnect, it all gets pushed online sort of back, like after that. That's one way that we've overcome that. Yeah, for sure.
So building fail safes into the system, basically having those multiple options for connectivity in the first place, but then also keeping the data secure, I suppose, whether secure is the right word or not, keeping it in a safe place on the sensor, for example, and then being able to upload it as and when you get the signal.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess as well, for slightly further offshore where you've got satellite comms that are required, at the moment we do use Iridium, but we are moving towards sort of slightly cheaper broadband options as well. So I think that could become more of an option as we get further through that development, for sure.
Cool, interesting, thank you. So you talked there about kind of the combination of data, and we mentioned it in the introduction of that, and working together and that collaborative work. How do you think data can be collated, combined and analyzed to be useful to and therefore valuable for farmers? I think everyone's talking about data, and everyone's talking about that kind of like, oh, you must have data, but there's a danger that we start collecting data for data's sake. So how do you make it valuable? How would you make it helpful for farmers? And what do you think your top tips would be?
It highly depends on what you're collecting and where you're collecting it. So for example, you could take water quality data from different points on your site or biological phytoplankton samples and collate them all into one area. And then this could be used to sort of help predict threats in advance. So a project that we're actually working on here at RSAcro is called the Habitat Project. So it's Innovate UK funded, and it's a collaboration between us and Nova Sea and Scottish Sea Farms. And what we're planning to do is sort of collate data from various different data sets, whether that's daily phytoplankton samples or water quality data. We've actually got a suite of sensors both on the aquaculture site and slightly offshore. And then we're going to bring in sort of previous harmful algal bloom reports, and then compiling them all into sort of one AI model. And then we're going to try and predict the incoming harmful algal blooms and also the strength of them.
Interesting.
I guess how that could be of value to farmers is it will allow them to alter their sort of mitigation effects and sort of the strength of and the way that they're doing them as well, which is really important. So I think at the moment a lot of aquaculture sites are actually just switching on aeration and oxygenation systems to prevent harmful algal blooms, and they just switch this on for the entire season, which is obviously really expensive and energy intensive. So having that system which can determine when you need that and also the amount of that aeration you need will be really important and valuable.
That's interesting. I think just for anyone who's listening, a harmful algal bloom, for example, is basically algae that's within the water column that can really be detrimental to fish health. It can kill fish quite easily, let's face it. It can suffocate them, it can attack the gills, and it's not nice stuff. So any sort of livestock loss impacts on production costs, but then obviously it's also not great from a kind of environmental perspective. So any sort of early warning for that, I think Phoebe, you're absolutely right, and that sounds like a really interesting project where you can help reduce cost and obviously then help reduce livestock loss is fantastic in my opinion. So that's really good. There's been a sharp rise in the use of digital technologies across agriculture and aquaculture, but there's often the kind of a hesitancy to adopt that technology. I just wondered, across how can we get into the farmer's mindset, and that's agri and aqua, perhaps from an aqua perspective, how can we drive that engagement? How can we get people more switched on to actually using technology that could help them?
Really hard question.
Sorry.
to be honest, it's really hard. It's a really good question actually, and it's something that we maybe struggled with a little bit at the start. I think the best way is to engage with the farmers is to highlight the benefits that digital technologies can bring over sort of their more manual techniques. So for example, really highlighting the impact of having a real-time system that can be deployed left in the water for weeks, and how that can reduce labor costs and also give the farmers more time to go and do other things that might be more beneficial to them. So I think it's really highlighting the benefits of a better quality data and how that allows you to closely monitor the water quality and improve fish health. And of course, that will be of interest to the farmers. So I think it's taking the time to have those conversations and really get into the nitty and gritty of why it's more beneficial to them.
So do you think one of the main barriers is that lack of understanding in that case, that kind of like, oh, technology is a bit weird and a bit scary and a bit new. What does it actually mean to me?
Well, yeah, I don't know if it's a lack of understanding, or I think I mentioned it earlier, but maybe like a lack of funding and regulation. So like I said, we've been working, RSAC have been working in the aquaculture industry for quite a few years. And we did actually find it really hard to sort of get the ball rolling in the industry at first. And it really felt like if if a site had the equipment that it was doing the job well, or it was doing the job okay, they felt like it was easier to stick with that than to invest in something that maybe could do the job to a better quality, maybe. So yeah, there's definitely a hesitancy, but whether it's a lack of understanding or a lack of actual requirement to do that monitoring and having that real-time data.
Okay, cool. Yeah, interesting. So million-dollar question. I've got some good ones coming up as well. If you could name one single data stream that you think was most useful to the aquaculture sector, what would it be and why?
Definitely dissolved oxygen.
Okay.
And I just because it's obviously imperative to a healthy fish stock. And we found that sort of across the board in both coastal sites and RAS sites. And they have a real requirement for dissolved oxygen to be reported both in real time, but with multiple data points as well. I think a really good system would be a real time system that's easy to view your DO levels, provides you alarms, and it has a great sort of reporting capability. I think dissolved oxygen.
I mean, having worked in the sector and having worked with dissolved oxygen probes, I know how fickle they can be and how easy they are to sort of drift off, like calibration and all sorts of things like that. So yeah, I think any sort of reliable dissolved oxygen system, particularly in RAS production, as you mentioned, like, you know, obviously you've got high stocking densities relying on that filtration system to keep the fish alive or keep the animals alive. DO is absolutely critical. So yeah, I tend to agree, to be honest.
Ryan and I, my colleague, we went and visited a RAS site up in Scotland, or a couple actually, recently for the first time, and I couldn't believe how many locations they were actually monitoring data at and how accurate and how many data points they needed. It seems like there's a lot more in a RAS site than there is in a coastal site.
It's such a fine line of keeping fish in that optimum range when you're working in a RAS facility. It's, you know, obviously you've got a lot of inputs and a lot of water chemistry stuff going on that is affected by fish, you know, fish excreting ammonia, all the sorts of things that's going on in quite a confined space of water, in effect, isn't it? So yeah, it's really critical to be able to monitor that. So that's quite interesting. It kind of leads me on to my next question as well, actually. We're starting to see the use of digital and development of digital twins in the aquaculture sector. So do you see, I mean, I suppose relating that to what we were talking about with RAS, do you see the use of that data that the RS hacker currently collects in that space? And if not, how does that then adapt to that kind of digital twin and being able to run things and trial things virtually, I guess, is the key thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and if I'm completely honest, I'm not entirely familiar with the use of digital twins in the aquaculture sector, but
right,
you say, I think having that constant real-time data from our RS aqua system, it will definitely be useful. I think having that, establishing that baseline of data as well, be really important. But so I guess being able to sort of simulate maybe the impact of certain mitigation efforts on an incoming bloom could be really important. So being able to determine quite how much oxygen or aeration you need to pump into a system to account for, say, a medium strength bloom, or even with feeding, I guess you could look at the currents and then how to optimize that feeding using that digital twin side of things and simulating when to feed and almost where to feed as well could be really important and help to streamline the efficiency of that. But
I guess that's something people might not think about. If you put feed into a water column, obviously you don't want it washing out of the pen. Feed's expensive, and then if the fish don't eat it, you're then just putting it straight into the environment, so it's not ideal.
And then to go straight back out, for sure.
Exactly. Cool, interesting. Thank you. So I think finally, what does the use of data in the UK look like to you?
I think it's definitely leading to a more sustainable practice. Particularly of the real-time data access and automatic systems. I think the aquaculture industry is definitely growing, definitely in Scotland, but also in the sort of the southwest and Ireland. And I think using the data in UK aquaculture will allow for better management, making the aquaculture sites more profitable, and then having more of an investment to drive better sustainability practices in the future. I think that's how it looks to me. And I think
Sorry, go on.
No, you go.
I was going to say, do you see it as kind of being, I guess, a tool for policy? Like, is it something that we could use to help develop the sector in the UK? We often hear about, you know, the difficulties in around developing new business and new facilities in aquaculture. Policy can be a little bit slow, you know, doesn't necessarily keep up with the sector. Do you think data could be used as a tool to kind of almost inform policy to kind of move the sector forward?
Yeah, and I mean, you could, by looking at maybe a sustainable farm compared to a less sustainable farm and using the data from that to create policies and enforcing certain restrictions or things like that on aquaculture sites could be really important, particularly around blooms as well, and making sure that people or farms are taking these daily phytoplankton samples and being able to predict them and actually enforcing that in place. And also that in then turn would drive aquaculture sites to want to invest in better data and collection and things like that. So
So I guess it's that feedback loop, isn't it? Of sort of like, and if you start collecting the data, then you can use that data to inform policy and then kind of move things forward, and everyone's a winner in theory.
Bit of a chicken and egg scenario as well, I think.
Yeah, and I hear that a lot as well, dealing with the aquaculture sector as well. So yeah, a lot of chicken and egg going on. Which is obviously relevant to our agri. Sorry.
But it's definitely growing. We're seeing a lot more drive in aquaculture users wanting to invest in better planting techniques and things like that. So it's good. It is good.
Good. Yeah. Excellent. Thank you. Well, I think we're almost out of time, Phoebe. So I think probably to just quickly wrap up and summarize, I think that data seems to be becoming more and more prominent in aquaculture and more useful, I think, as we're starting to understand how to utilize that data and how to inform farmers that actually it's a good thing to have data. You should use it, and it actually might benefit your production cycle and help you move the business forward, which I think is absolutely great. So thank you for joining us today, Phoebe. It's been really interesting and really helpful. Don't forget, if you were to remember, to follow CL on Twitter and LinkedIn, and check out cielivestock.co.uk for more CL insights on data that we'll be releasing over the coming weeks. And thanks for listening.